And we continue at 1:08 in the afternoon. Talk Radio 790 KABC, The John Phillips Show, broadcasting live from my living room in Palm Springs, California. And it's time to fully reopen the state of California for business. Mr. Randy Wang's at the sports desk in Culver City.
John, Governor Gavin Newsom just signed a bill that is aimed to protect Amazon warehouse workers from having to poop their pants.
Wait, how is he doing that?
Because they're going to eliminate the quota system where Amazon workers can't even take a bathroom break because I need my package now.
Do they have to buy an Amazon Prime membership to get the bathroom privileges?
Oh, probably. You have to scan your little barcode on the app and then it'll let you in.
Jeff Bezos really won't let them go to the bathroom.
There have been reports for years that multiple Amazon workers, in order to get their quota bonuses, have resorted to wearing diapers to fill those packages without any interruptions.
I see. Well, I guess Jeff Bezos isn't the only one who wants him to go up into space. Could you imagine working in an environment like that? You couldn't go to the bathroom.
Well, working in this business with a computer that I can't leave alone, yes.
Well, hopefully that after medical plan will take care of your kidneys.
No, it's already bankrupt.
800-222-KABC is the telephone number, 1-800-222-5222. Well, in so many ways, Southern California is a company town. In Northern California, they're defined by the tech industry. Central California is defined by agriculture. For so many years, San Diego was defined by the defense industry and the military. And in Southern California, we're defined by Hollywood. If Hollywood doesn't make movies and doesn't make TV shows, a lot of people, not just the people who work in Hollywood, but if you own a restaurant in Burbank or a dry cleaner that services a lot of people that work in that industry, a shutdown of film production is bad news for all involved.
Well, you look at the television industry, and you might only see the people that are on camera at the time, but every TV show, whether it's a sitcom or talk show, what have you, employs hundreds of people in Southern California.
And there could be a work stoppage. And by work stoppage, I mean from top to bottom. If he wasn't in prison, Randy, with this work stoppage, I don't think you would see Harvey Weinstein defiling any potted plants. He would stop doing that.
In solidarity with IATSE.
He would. If Bill Cosby, well, I guess he is out now, there would be dust on his medicine cabinet. No one's doing anything if this work stoppage happens. For more on that, let's listen to Fox 11.
Leaders of the massive IATSE union are asking more than 40,000 LA area entertainment workers for the green light to call a strike authorization vote.
The union's contract with the Film and Television Producers Alliance expired earlier this month. Hal Eisner live in Hollywood with what's at stake if things do escalate into a strike. Hal.
Yeah, well, here in this land of entertainment, underneath that Hollywood sign, there are thousands of people who work in motion pictures, television, trade shows, animation, and so much more. They're members of the union IATSE, and they do everything from camera operating to stagehand work. And like the woman you're about to meet, art department coordinators.
I think we're the silent workforce. You don't hear about our work a lot. You don't hear from a lot of our members.
Although you do see their logo at the end of every movie because many of their workers made it. The pandemic dealt them a tough blow. Workers couldn't work. Their pension is expected to take a deficit hit. Now their collective bargaining talks with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers has hit a wall.
We're not asking for anything that we don't deserve. We're just asking for rest and a wage that allows us to work in the places where they film.
The producers, AMPTP, say they've offered a package of pay increases, better conditions, an extra holiday, but the union feels its efforts at coming to an agreement have not been successful yet. So they're asking its membership for a strike authorization vote.
So production in Hollywood could be coming to an end, which means, Randy, you're not going to have new television shows to watch. you're going to have to rely on news, sports, and pornography.
I sure hope this second season of Tiger King is with non-union employees.
Joining us to talk about this is the founder of Bring Hollywood Home, Sharon Jimenez. Sharon, welcome.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me on. I've been the town crier on this subject for more than a decade. And when I founded Bring Hollywood Home, John, in 2010, the same issues were on the table: overworked, workers, lack of breaks, really incomprehensible kind of working conditions. When I started Bring Hollywood Home, Edward James Olmos allowed me to do a panel at La Leaf, the LA Latino International Film Festival. And the name of the panel that I came up with was The Tricky Business of Making Movies and Television in LA. And on that panel, I had Tim McHugh from IATSE, and I had the late Haskell Wexler, who spoke out for workers, even wrote a book about how hard it was to work in film and television in California. And Haskell was the wonderful cinematographer who won 2 Oscars for Bound for Glory and for One Flew Over a Cuckoo's Nest. So I've been making noise about this for a long time. I started Bring Hollywood Home to have a people's voice, people power, outside of the politically elite, who, by the way, are all connected to the industry in one way or another, that makes it very difficult for people to have a voice or speak out. And I explain that because right now, you know, our politics are like upside down. Why is it that Gavin Newsom is easily defends off the recall? And at the same time, we don't hear anything over and over again about this impending strike that could cripple the entertainment industry, not only in California, but around the nation, in different cities like Atlanta, states like Georgia, and of course, you know, California, the capital of the entertainment industry. We're going to be hard hit if they vote for this strike. Why didn't we hear that during the recall, John? What do you think?
Well, I have a theory on this, and I'm curious to get your take on it. In California, we have a cadre of politicians that control the state that all come from one tiny geographic area. Newsom was the former mayor of San Francisco. Feinstein was the former mayor of San Francisco. Kamala Harris was the former district attorney of San Francisco. Barbara Boxer was the former congresswoman from Marin. The chairman of the California Democratic Party for so many years, John Burton, was the state senator from San Francisco. The lieutenant governor, Eleni Kanellakis, comes from Sacramento. And when the state shut down, if you come from an area where so many of your friends and your neighbors work in tech or banking or government or one of those related fields, you could work from home and it's not that big of a deal. But down here, our economy is totally different. Many people have to be able to show up on set if they work in Hollywood and make films or make television programs. The small business owners in Southern California, if you own a restaurant or you require the schools to be open so you could send your kid to school so you can go to work, all of these policies were absolutely crushing to those of us who live down here, but not that big of a deal for people who live in San Francisco because of the industries that dominate those areas. I feel that we get left behind when the big decisions are made in Sacramento more times than not.
John, we get really left out. And yet, when I started Bring Hollywood Home, oh man, the LA Times, Hollywood not supporting Bring Hollywood Home. And they get all their big gorillas to jump on me. You know, I mean, like, who am I? I'm just, you know, a journalist, someone whose family has always supported the entertainment industry. Daughter was an actress. Kids went to school with a lot of kids who worked in the entertainment industry. And all of a sudden, I am a nuclear reactor. And you've got to stop Bring Hollywood Home. Why? Because we want jobs? Why? Because we want better conditions for workers in the industry? Why are we so dangerous? Because all we are is a mouthpiece. We're the town crier for workers in Hollywood. Oh, Sacramento wasn't going to have any of that. And then the LA Times jumps right in. You would think the LA Times was in Sacramento too, right? As disconnected as they are from what's going on in the industry. And why haven't we heard from the LA Times when we have this pending strike that, you know, like the Jenga game, you remove one piece and the whole tower falls. And that's what's going to happen in Southern California, where we've already suffered so terribly for these draconian lockdowns that we had from Governor Newsom. Our public school kids couldn't go back to school, but his kids could go back to school because they went to private schools. And now, today, John, you've got the UFW marching on the French Laundry, okay, up in Napa, because their man, Newsom, vetoed a bill that would have allowed them to vote by mail, okay? And that's, in other words, the political disconnects here are just phenomenal. But why should Newsom, and why should he let the farm workers vote by mail when he's got thousands of people at the border seeking asylum who can easily replace the farm workers?
Wait,
and the
low
income workers in this
state. Stop there for a second, because he required all of us to vote via the mail for the recall election, but he won't allow the farm workers to vote in union elections through the mail?
Right.
Oh, my God.
And the farm workers are so upset. You know, they were doing this long march in honor of Cesar Chavez, who in 1968 was their guy voicing opposition to letting the borders just be a sieve. Because when that happens, it impacts all of these workers who are experienced in picking our fruits and vegetables and who've had a voice in organic farming and keeping people more safe from produce. It was the United Farm Workers, Cesar Chavez, who led that, and he talked all the time about how we couldn't just have a porous border. But now that we do have this porous border, look at the farm workers outside the French Laundry today in Napa, because Newsom has refused to meet with them. Even after they tried to support him in the recall. And again, that's the real disconnect. And it's the disconnect with this recall and that people think, oh, Newsom is so popular. But it's not true. The truth is that the power is so central in Sacramento that people are afraid to step away from that because you could get crushed by the Great Bear in Sacramento if you dare to stand up to their policies. And yes, the farm workers can't vote by mail, but we're forced to vote by mail.
You know, it's interesting. One of the issues that led to the recall qualifying for the ballot is the fact that the middle class in California gets absolutely crushed. It's a great place to live if you have a lot of money. It's a great place to live if you're thankful to have his EDD check sent to you in the mail. But if you're in the middle, man, there is absolutely nothing for you. And if you look at Hollywood, the same thing is true in that industry, where the moguls who exist, the Jeff Bezoses of the world, Harvey Weinstein before he was thrown in prison, the people at the very top, they do very well, and they live like kings here in Southern California. But because the film production has left Southern California largely, it's gone to Georgia and Canada and New Mexico and Louisiana and elsewhere, all of the middle class people who work on these shows and work on these sets or rely on people in that industry to patronize their restaurants or patronize their dry cleaning shops, those are the ones that are left out to dry.
You're right. And let me tell you, when I first started Bring Hollywood Home in 2010, after the first tax credit incentives were passed, they were so small and so insignificant compared to the compelling reasons for the industry to leave California. Cheaper rents in Georgia, cheaper places to live in Canada, cheaper to live in Georgia, no income tax. All the reasons that the workers at the time, though, still didn't want to leave California. And these were like our top cinematographers. These were our top behind-the-scene people who made film and television here. But I couldn't get them to come out during Bring Hollywood Home for fear that they would be punished for standing up for themselves. You know, if they don't have 40,000 people vote in favor, then they're picked off because they can't singly have a voice. And there was a vote inside of IOTC, give you a little background that most people don't know. There was an organization that was created called the Film and Television Tax Credit Commission. And these people behind the scenes were doing everything they could in IOTC to try to get better working conditions for the workers in California and to stop the job outsourcing. But they finally had to shut it down. For a while, they had this support of SAG-AFTRA, but then they lost it because they were crushed. And if you look at IOTC, I saw a Twitter today. It says, who are the people that won't, you know, come back to the table and negotiate with us? And they named, you can't go against the power grid. The power grid, John, is so big. And again, I always thought it was interesting that they decided to make me important because, you know, for Bring Hollywood Home, town crier, usually not someone who gets a headline on the business page of the LA Times.
Well, I got to let you know before you go, your sister Jane is one of my favorite people on the planet. She and I used to be neighbors. And for whatever reason, I kept losing my keys. And one day after I lost them for about the third time, I was having a meltdown outside my front door. And she was walking Lemon Drop, her dog, and saw me having the meltdown. And she invited me in for a margarita, and we've been friends ever since.
Well, Jane is terrific. Unfortunately, like so many other people in California, she couldn't afford to live here anymore. And that's why she's in North Florida now. Otherwise, Jane would still probably be in California if there was a working wage and great people like her. And by the way, Lemon Drop passed away 2 years ago, and it was a heartbreak to all of us. You remember that famous dog of my sister's. The dog traveled more places than I've ever been, okay? but Lemon Drop had a long, wonderful life. But Jane doesn't live here like so many people. So many of my friends, John, have left because they can't afford to live here.
Sharon, what's your website?
It is SharonHardyJimenez.com.
All right. Sharon Jimenez, founder of Bring Hollywood Home. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, John. Take care.
Right now, I want to expand on something that our last guest, Sharon Jimenez of Keep Hollywood in Hollywood, had to say. She told us, Randy, that the farm workers are marching from the French Laundry to Plump Jack right now because they're upset with the governor. Is that correct?
Yes. Gavin Newsom signed a whole bunch of bills as the assembly session closes for the year, except one that he vetoed was Assembly Bill 616 that would enable United Farm Workers to vote in their union elections by mail. He vetoed that, and the reasoning is very confusing. I'll read a little piece of Newsom's veto statement. AB 616 creates a new process for agricultural employees to elect a labor representative through a ballot card election. The bill contains various inconsistencies and procedural issues related to the collection and review of ballot cards. Ipso facto, it was a letting the United Farm Workers Union vote by mail in their union elections. He vetoed that. So United Farm Workers and Lorena Gonzalez, one of the big champions of this bill, are pissed. And apparently United Farm Workers have started protesting by marching from the French Laundry in Yountville to Plump Jack Winery in Napa County.
And all of this goes in the face of what he's been doing with the California electorate as a whole. He wants us all to vote by mail. And the reason that he wants us to vote by mail is because he wants to try to do what he can to control the results.
Well, and all other public sector unions, according to Lorena Gonzalez, put that asterisk right there, all other public sector worker unions, you can vote by mail in those kind of elections. For some reason, there are enough special interests that don't want the farm workers doing that.
But why is it okay for the California electorate to vote via mail, but not the farm workers?
I have no idea.
That makes no logical sense at all.
One of the special interests that's in favor of the veto says, thank you, Gavin Newsom, for protecting the right to a secret ballot election.
You know, back in the old days, when you had these political machines that would run cities, Tammany Hall in New York being the biggest among them, but it wasn't just in New York. There were machines that ran Philadelphia. Oddly enough, a Republican machine that ran Philadelphia. There were machines that ran Boston. San Francisco at one point in time had a machine. Pat Brown, Jerry Brown's dad, was part of it. And one of the things that they would do, because they had all of the officers in the political machine at the polls, is they would hand you a ballot. And in California, as part of our progressive reforms, which include the referendum, the initiative, and the recall, which we just exercised earlier this month. But one of the things that we prohibit in California is something called straight ticket voting. Now, you can vote for all the Republicans on your ballot, or all the Democrats on your ballot, or all the Libertarians on your ballot. But we make you go into each individual race and check the box. You just can't check one box that says, I want a straight ticket Democratic vote. We don't allow that here. And the reason that we don't allow that here is because it essentially takes away your right to a secret ballot. Because if you live in New York and you're voting in a Tammany Hall controlled precinct, and Tammany Hall is the local Democratic political machine, and you spend more than about 20 seconds in that voting booth, they know that you're not voting a straight ticket for them. And they know that they can punish you, or they can come after you, or they can make your life miserable so that next time around, you vote the way you're supposed to vote. Part of the reason that people like Gavin Newsom love all vote by mail elections is because it is easier to collect the ballots of flaky voters who you know would otherwise be voting for you if they actually showed up on election day. Places like college campuses. There are no flakier voters on planet Earth more than young kids. The kids forget it's election day.
Despite all the rock the votes, they don't vote.
They don't vote. Absolutely. But you look at some of these precincts as soon as ballot harvesting was allowed and vote by mail was exploding in Irvine at UC Irvine or any other city that has a big university. And you'd see North Korea type of numbers where last time around 300 people voted, this time around 3,000 people voted. And guess what? They all voted the same way. Because they were out there with In-N-Out Burgers collecting the ballots. This has nothing to do with democracy. This has nothing to do with whether or not the farm workers should be able to vote through the mail or in person. It has everything to do with Newsom putting pressure on that union to vote the way he wants them to. And in a one-party state, it's not all Republicans versus Democrats. That's how it typically is in purple states or states where there's a balance politically. In a one-party state, you have factions within the Democratic Party that essentially operate as distinct individual parties. And if Gavin Newsom is challenged when he runs for re-election from someone like Lorena Gonzalez, who would be challenging him from the left, then unions like the United Farm Workers would be getting behind her. I would imagine other unions like the SEIU would probably get behind her. So what he has to do is he has to make sure the rules for voting on things like endorsements or voting in union officials are as advantageous to him as possible. That way he can cut her off at the knees and make it so that she doesn't have the political backing that she would need to mount a serious challenge to him. All vote by mail in statewide elections was meant to screw the Republicans. not allowing the farm workers to vote by mail is meant to screw Lorena Gonzalez. What Gavin Newsom is doing is he's doing everything he possibly can to preserve his own power. He is looking out for old number one. There's nothing involving ideology here. There's nothing involving altruism here. He is doing what he has to do to protect himself. And Gavin Newsom's very good at that. 800-222-KABC is the phone number. 1-800-222-5222 here on The John Phillips Show. Now, Randy, you've been following some of the back and forth between the warden and Lorena Gonzalez over him vetoing her legislation about the farm workers' elections.
Yeah, I follow Lorena Gonzalez, of course, for show purposes here. And, you know, there was a lot of bills that Newsom signed yesterday and a couple that he vetoed as well. And so the first tweet that came out of her yesterday was how happy she was that Newsom signed that bill that makes it so Amazon has to give their workers bathroom breaks. And then 2 seconds later, I'm truly devastated that Gavin Newsom vetoed the most important union organizing bill of the year, denying farm workers the right to organize and join a union in the same manner we allow all public sector workers in California to do is so abhorrent. Happy Hispanic Heritage Month. Wide open eyes emoji.
Passive aggressive much?
So a couple of people had noticed that, you know, in a 5-second frame, she's praising Newsom and crapping on Newsom. So she tweeted out later in the evening, for those of you who don't get, colon, yes, you can be simultaneously thrilled and upset with the same person at the same time. Ask any parent. Hashtag AB701. Hashtag AB616.
She seems like she'd be a real joy to work with.
And be married to.
I've seen the husband. He deserves every bit of it. 800-222-KABC is the phone number. 1-800-222-5222. PG&E is the utility company that services Northern California that's been held criminally liable for burning two entire towns down and burning people alive, not to mention the animals that they've burned alive and killed and the property damage. They are a company that is a bad actor. Fortunately for them, Gavin Newsom is a big fan of theirs and will do whatever it is that he has to do to protect them, including allow the company to pay fire victims with company stock instead of actual money. Well, Randy, today there's a story that just absolutely takes the cake.
Our friends at ABC 10 in Sacramento, who have been doing piece after piece after piece uncovering the corruption with PG&E in Sacramento, have noticed that there's an unusual trend on Twitter. The CEO of PG&E has started blocking fire victims from messaging her on Twitter.
For more, here's ABC 10.
CEO of PG&E, Patty Poppy, has a slogan.
Patty Poppy?
What kind of name is that? Did she have a career in porn before going into the utility business?
That's either a porn name or she is a living cartoon character.
CEO of PG&E, Patty Poppy, has a slogan that she likes to use. She promised again and again to lead with love. But the victims of wildfires...
I don't need my power company to lead with love. I need them to not burn things down.
And how about not turning the power off?
But the victims of wildfires blamed on PG&E power lines, they don't feel that love. When one of them tried to talk to the CEO about the death of her granddaughter on Twitter, she got a response she did not expect. The CEO blocked her.
Who is she, Ace Smith?
Oh, dear. We've got a critic.
ABC 10 reporter Brandon Brenneman has the story you'll only see on ABC 10.
And here, because we feature it.
All that Susie Bewley has left of her granddaughter are pictures and memories. Fela McLeod's life ended at the age of 8. She died in a pickup truck alongside her mom, Elena, trying to run from the flames of the Zog fire. Fela and Elena can't speak anymore, so Susie is determined to be their voice.
I'm not doing it to be vindictive at all. I'm doing it out of love. I'm doing it out of love for my family. I'm doing it out of love for my community.
When Susie saw this tweet from PG&E CEO Patty Poppe, she couldn't keep quiet. The tweet claimed PG&E is using every tool to make it safe from wildfire danger.
If they were...
Oh, who believes that?
Yeah, no one. Not even Newsom.
The tweet claimed PG&E is using every tool to make it safe from wildfire danger.
If they were actually doing safety measures, then the Zog Fire would have never started.
CAL FIRE ruled a PG&E power line caused the Zog Fire. In a ruling, a federal judge said PG&E committed safety violations. He found PG&E knew it had an unsafe tree near its power line. Contractors marked it back in 2018, and no one at PG&E followed up to cut it down. The tree fell on PG&E's power line in a windstorm and sparked the Zog Fire. So back on Twitter, Susie replied with a picture.
All they needed to do is cut down one tree. And Fela and Elena would have still been with their family.
And then what happened?
She blocked me.
She posted a picture of the tree that PG&E did not cut down, and she got blocked on Twitter for that.
Well, you watch. PG&E is powerful and connected in California, particularly Northern California. Twitter's going to suspend the grandma next.
This is what Susie saw after she shared the photo. We wanted to know how Poppy squares this with her theme, hashtag leading with love. She used that in the tweet. She's used it with state regulators.
You know, I am known for leading with love.
She's used it with business groups.
That you cannot go wrong when you lead with love.
We asked Poppy how blocking a grieving grandmother exemplifies her promise to lead with love. Our messages to her on email and Twitter went unreturned.
Shocking.
Yeah, I'll tell you what's coming next. ABC 10's getting blocked too.
What does that tell you?
They don't care. They really don't care.
A Shasta County prosecutors plan to file criminal charges against PG&E for the four deaths in the Zog Fire, including Fela and Elena. They plan to do that by the one-year anniversary of that fire, which is coming up next Monday. PG&E, which didn't comment on its CEO Twitter-blocking victims, has said that it doesn't believe criminal charges are warranted in that fire.
All right, Brandon, it just keeps going on and on, doesn't it?
Never ends.
Thank you.
And you have to remind people over and over and over again, because the LA Times won't print it. This is a company that has been held criminally liable for killing people, murdering people, and they are politically in bed with Gavin Newsom. They give him campaign contributions, and in kind, he allows them to control the Public Utilities Commission and write legislation that allows them to screw fire victims. Of all of the bad things that this man has done as governor, this deserves to be at the top of the list.
I want to know how well he knows Patty Poppy.
No kidding. One more hour coming up on the John Phillips Show. Talk Radio 790 KABC.